Today we're starting a new series on courage. We're doing this now because, well, because in life you need courage, but right now in our nation there are a lot of events going on that are requiring us to be courageous and to face life in a different kind of a way. If I were to walk into a room, at least pre-COVID, and say 100 people, and say to them, how many of you would like more courage? I'm going to guess that most people would raise their hand. Because inside of us, most of us do not feel courageous. In fact, if you were to get to know the people that you think are most courageous in your life, many of them don't feel courageous. And some of the things that we label as courage really aren't courage. And so today we're going to be looking at what courage is, how you develop courage, what you can do to foster it, and how that's important in our lives. So let me just say up front, courage is hard. It doesn't matter who you are. Courage is a hard thing. Courage is hard because courage is the ability to do something that frightens you. That's the dictionary definition, to literally do something that frightens you. That's why it's hard. The second definition is to have strength in grief or pain, which is also hard. And so for us, we as human beings, we want to be courageous. There's very few of us that don't want to be courageous, that don't want to have the ability to face our fears, to step into life, to move forward, to confront things that we don't want to confront, or to deal with things in front of us. We don't like to live in fear. We don't like the anxiety. We would love to just be in a sense of peace. And sometimes it takes courage to get to that place. And that's why we're looking at it today. Now, the Bible tells us some powerful things about courage. And research is beginning to confirm what the Bible is saying to us as they understand more and more about how we act as human beings and about what courage says. So today we're going to be looking at three key elements. There are more, and we'll look at some others in future sermons. But we're going to look at three key elements of courage that you can use to work on, to grow, and to develop the courage in your life. Now, let me just say something up front to you. Up front, we're already 2 or 3 minutes in. Let me say this to you now. We don't even always know how to have courage because sometimes we misidentify courage in others. You know, there are some people who appear courageous who are really just jerks. What do I mean? Well, there are some people who walk around and they don't care what others think and they say and do whatever they want to do because they don't care about others. That's not courage. That's just being a jerk. And some of us have a sensitivity to how other people feel. We care about what other people think. We sometimes overly care about what other people think. And we would never say the kinds of things that that other person says. And so we look at what they say and what they do because they walk into a room and say or do whatever they want and they just don't care. And we think that's courage. But it isn't. Because if you don't care what people think, and if you're acting like a jerk, well, then maybe you are just a jerk, not courageous. The second thing is that some people have no fear. They just have no fear. And that's not courage either. There is a line somewhere between courage and stupidity. And when you have no fear, you will find that line. I mean, when you literally have no fear, you will find the line between doing something that most would consider courageous and doing something that's just simply stupid. So we need to understand that courage is, in fact, facing our fears. And the reason why it's so important is not only because God tells us to do it, and he really does, commands us in fact, but because our lives are oftentimes held back and the richness of life is sometimes missed and opportunities to do amazing things are oftentimes laid to the side because we can lack courage. So today we're going to look at a story. And in the story, it's an interesting story because the story has two characters that you may be familiar with. And one, it's a father and a son, and one of them is known for their courage. The other is not necessarily known for anything regarding courage so much as wisdom. And this is David, as in David and Goliath, and his son Solomon. Now, David, as you may remember, grew up as a shepherd boy. So the scripture tells us that early in his life, like maybe sometimes in his teens, to defend his sheep, his own flocks in the fields, he had already killed a lion and a bear. Now, I'm just going to ask you at home, how many of you think that might require some significant courage of you to kill a lion and a bear? And I'm not, I mean, David didn't have a gun. He didn't have a scope on his gun. I mean, David had a sling, rocks, maybe a knife, a spear. Like, this is how he did this, right? David killed these two beasts protecting his sheep. So when we think of David, from early on, David exhibited what we might call classically courage. Now, I don't know if David was afraid to do that. He also confronted Goliath. He was the only person on the battlefield who didn't seem to have at least the same level of fear that everybody else did. Maybe he had fear. It would be reasonable to have fear. But even in that story, he had this level of confidence that God was with him. And we're going to talk about more of that in a minute. And so David, if you read David's story, David had all these courageous acts in his life. And we come to this story in the scripture in which he has a conversation with his son Solomon, who's going to be the next king of Israel. And David wanted to build a temple for God, a temple, like a religious building for God. And God said, I'm sorry, I don't think you're the person to do it. I think Solomon's the person to do it. You've been a warrior, and I would like a non-warrior to build my temple. So David has a conversation with Solomon. And here's what he says in the scripture. Then David continued, as he's talking to Solomon about this project, be strong and courageous. Father to son, be strong and courageous and do all the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God, my God, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. Now, I'm going to walk back through this and share with you the three elements that I see in the story that are huge and that research from people like Brené Brown is confirming are critical to growing our sense of courage. But David sets the stage by saying to him, be strong and courageous and do the work. That's really the setting of the stage for understanding the elements that are in front of us, right? And it embeds one of the first elements at the end of that. But he says to him, look, I need you, son. He looks at him and says, son, I need you to be strong and courageous. Now, there are other places in the Bible where God commands it. In Joshua, he says, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God has actually commanded that. So there is a sense in Scripture in which God routinely promises us his presence and then commands us in response to have courage. And we're going to unpack that today. And the first element that I want you to understand that the Scripture is telling us is to do, literally he says, and do the work. Now, this really means two things. The first kind of work David's speaking about is building the temple. Do the work, build the temple, get the building done. But the second kind of work he's talking about is the kind of work that has to happen inside, because for some reason, and we don't know why, it's not told to us, but it's not hard to infer from the conversation, Solomon was afraid. Solomon was afraid. And let me pause and lift this up, because this is such a critical understanding to courage and to what it means as a Christian to have courage and a human being to have courage. Fear and the courage that overcomes it is very personal. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean that not everybody is afraid of the same things. I mean, if you were to sit down with David and say, David, are you afraid to build a temple? David would have been like, I killed a lion, I killed a bear. I'm the one who wants to build the temple. God said, I can't build it. No, I'm not afraid. But for some reason, Solomon was. I don't know why. It doesn't say why. You know, if we were to conjecture, the scripture says that Solomon was a super wise person, like one of the wisest in the world. And sometimes the wisest people in the world, sometimes you can know too much. Like when you know a lot, you've heard the term ignorance is bliss, right? When you know a lot, it can cause you to fear a lot. So we don't know why Solomon was afraid, but Solomon had a fear about taking on this project. And David sits him down and says, you have to do the, you have to be strong and you have to be courageous, but you have to do the work. And the work involves not only the actual project itself, but the work inside of you, which is work. So let me give you an example of what I mean by that. Brené Brown calls this rumbling with vulnerability. There is a part inside of you when you are afraid in which you must face with vulnerability the fears that you have within you. Come to understand it, work it through, and get to the other side to be able to take the action. Let me give you a story to explain this. Some time ago, and those of you that watch regularly, I did a sermon about a year ago, actually, in which I showed you that my wife and I had redone our master bathroom. We literally tore everything down. We took everything out, and we redid everything. The floors, we put in a new shower, we put in a new vanity, and we tiled, we stripped the floor down to the subfloor, and we put in a new tile floor with a heated floor underneath the tiles. Now, here's what I didn't tell you in that story. What I didn't tell you is that after I installed that floor, after my wife and I installed that floor, after we laid down everything, after we got the wiring in the floor, after we laid down the tile and grouted it and got it all done and it dried the prerequisite amount of days it needed to dry, all that was left to do was to test the wiring in the floor with a meter and to hook it up to the thermostat on the wall. I tested it. It worked perfectly in the test. But I was afraid. I was so afraid that for 3 days, I couldn't hook it up to the thermostat. I even called my dad. I said, Dad, this is crazy. What most people would be afraid of, I did without any kind of fear. I stripped my floor down. We laid down the new subfloor. We laid down the wiring. I've never done any of this. Put the mortar on top, laid all the tile, cut it, installed it, put the mortar in, tested it. It all works. And all that's left is the proof in the pudding. And I was afraid that after all that work, the hours of putting all that in, it wouldn't work. And I was chicken. I was afraid to do the simple job of screwing 3 wires down with 3 screws and hitting on. And I literally had to sit down and I had to do some work here. I had to say, why are you afraid? And I'm like, well, I spent $500 on this heating system, and if it doesn't work, I'll either have to tear up the floor or it will be worthless laying in the floor. Okay, so have you ever wasted $500 in life before? Yes. Is your wife going to be upset at you? No. Is anybody else going to come in and accuse you of anything? No. So why are you afraid? And what it came down to in the end was that I was afraid to see myself as a failure. And for me, the hooking of that up to the thermostat was a mini test in life. And God had to sit me down and say, really, this is how you're going to evaluate yourself as a success or failure in life, whether your heated floor works or not. Because that makes no sense. And I had to do the hard work of getting to that place. And for many of you, you are like, you are so weird, Andrew. Like, you are so weird. Come on. The hard work was doing all that other stuff. Yeah, exactly. That's why this is so personal, right? Because what you fear is what you fear, and what I fear is what I fear. And we have to do the work. And it's never easy. The work is not just the doing of the task, it's the vulnerability of really asking the hard questions. Why am I afraid? What's going to happen if I don't do this? What's the worst that can happen if I do? What are the possible consequences? And getting yourself through to a place where you really have understood who you are and why you're that way so that you can take the next step. And as you work through it, your courage grows because you can ask yourself ridiculous questions like, have I ever wasted $500 on anything else in life? And for most of us, the answer is probably yes. And will I survive even if my spouse is disappointed? The answer is yes. And can my ego take a hit if I do not create a system that works? And the answer is yes. So I finally made myself go, install the thermostat, put in the three wires, and turn the temperature to 82 degrees. And my feet were so happy. Looking back, it seems like such a ridiculous story. It's why I tell it to you. But that's the hard work that we sometimes have to do to be courageous, to understand what it is that we're facing and why it's a fear in the first place, and to do it. And it really is critical work. And it's hard. It's hard work. And sometimes we even need people to help us with it. And that's part of the beauty of the fact that David sat down with his son and had this conversation. Which leads me to my second point. Because David said, God is with you. He will not fail or forsake you. He will see you get it done. David was telling Solomon that even if he passed away in this project and Solomon had to do this without David's help, that God, and David was old and this was a long project, God would be with him. He was not going to do this alone. And whenever you have someone who's committed to do anything with you or to help you or to stand beside you, it usually raises your level of courage to know that you're not alone, to have someone with you. And when it's God, when you understand and believe, when you have faith that it really is God who is committed to be beside you, it changes everything. It's why I said, in some respects, courage is a byproduct of faith, because God has said, I will commit to being there with you, and your responsibility is to work on growing your courage. Because when you know that, it's amazing. How many of you remember riding a bike for the first time? Now, I got to tell you, watching my kids grow up, my kids were each different. Like, they had different things they were afraid of and different levels of fear, right? And my son, there were times when my son seemed fearless. I mean, he did stuff that I was afraid he was going to hurt himself with. The girls weren't going to have anything to do with it, right? But I remember when I was growing up riding a bike, early on I had a tricycle, and then I had a two-wheel bike with training wheels. And the day came when my dad came to me and he said, don't you think it's time to take the training wheels off? I don't remember how old I was, but it was probably embarrassingly old. And I said, no, I don't think it's time to do that. Are you crazy? I like the system I have. Dad said, I think maybe it's time to do this. And there were suggestions like, let's take off one wheel. You know that doesn't work very well. If you've had that happen, that does not work very well. So he said, let me do this. I lived in a court, a circle. And my dad said, how about if I hold the back of your seat and I'll walk behind you as you ride? And as you can imagine, what happened was that he spent about 15 minutes walking behind me, and I relaxed. And I forgot. In fact, I so assumed that he was going to continue to hold onto my seat that when I circled around the court and saw him standing over there when I was over here, I suddenly had this moment of fear and amazement at the same time. And what my dad did was he said, I'm going to help you to have courage because I'm going to do this with you. And there may be moments when I'm doing it with you when I'm literally holding you, and moments that I'm doing it with you where I let go and watch you, but I will still be here. I'll still be here. And the amazing aspect of this part of courage that David talks to Solomon about is that the notion that he can trust that God will be with him and that he will carry it through, that he will love him and help him, that he's for him, that he's not there to judge every block that gets down in the temple to say, but that he will help him to do it correctly and well, is just a gift and a huge commitment on God's part. The commitment that he's committed to be with us and beside us and help us 24/7. Not even my best friends want to be with me 24/7. And God's committed that. Now here's the third and the last element. And this one, it's not so clear until you think about how the story actually unfolded. See, David actually sat down and had this conversation with Solomon. You can read about it more in the rest of the chapter if you wish to. But he sat down and he said, look, I've wanted to build this temple, but God's not going to let me. I want you to build it. And the context of this conversation is, I'm your dad's son. I believe that God is asking this of you. Would you do it? Would you do it out of love for me? And would you do it out of love for God? And this is a third key element to courage, is love. Love has an amazing way to motivate us to be courageous. It just does. I remember when I was in high school, I was dating a girl named Gail. And her father was a military man. And I went over to their house one day and he introduced me to oysters. He suggested that I try it. The only reason I did was because I liked Gail an awful lot. But I want you to think about life. I want you to think about what you've done. What have you done for your spouse because they wanted to do it? And what have you done for your children? And what would you be willing to do for your children? You, I'm guessing, would be willing to do amazing acts of courage to save or to help or to rescue a child, a grandchild, or someone that you deeply cared about in life, a parent, a friend. Love has a way of capturing us and overwhelming, literally overwhelming fear so that it pushes it into the corner. It's interesting because the scripture says perfect love casts out, it literally pushes out fear, which is why courage kind of erupts in the face of love. There's been some stories that have emerged over the past couple of months that look like that. Just this past week, there was a couple that was in a jewelry store, and they were getting their rings cleaned. And as they were doing that, a group of folks that came in to rob the store literally broke into the store with guns. And I don't know all the details. What I know is that there started to be gunfire. And Jonathan Murphy, who's a Marine, put himself between the gun and his wife. And he died there in that jewelry store, protecting his wife. Now, as a former Marine, I am certain that man already understood courage and laying down his life. He had been trained in it. I don't know the rest of his story. I don't know if he's ever had to do that in real life, but that day he did. And he said, I'll step in front of a bullet for my wife. Because I love her. You can't answer that question in the abstract. Who knows what we would do in a similar situation? But what we know is that love compelled him to do that. In South Bend, Indiana, 3 weeks ago, Tamara Reed's apartment was broken into and four armed robbers came in. Her son, David, you know, at five, it's hard to know if he was one of those kids who was fearless or just courageous. But you'd have to think, even at the age of five, that you'd be afraid of four people that came into an apartment with guns. This five-year-old David, he began to pick up his toys and throw them at the gunman. He literally threw one at one of their heads, a truck he had. He chased them out of his mother's apartment. He wanted, at five, to protect his mama. Amazing. And even more astounding, in August, three-year-old Arthur de Oliveira in Brazil, his mama left him by a pool this summer and told him that she would be back in just a minute. And while she was gone, a friend, and I don't even know how old the friend was, began to drown. And he ran over to the edge of the pool at three and reached in and helped pull the friend out of the pool, saving their life. Courage. You know, there's a lot of forms of courage, isn't there? There's courage that happens in an instant like that when life just comes before us. But there's a kind of a courage that Solomon had to face when he had something big in front of him. And he had to, it wasn't an instantaneous thing. He had to process it. He had to work through it. He had to come to a place where he could actually step into it and take an actual act of courage. That's hard. For some it's, well, as I've walked with people in life, for some it's the moment that they're told that they have cancer. And the fear just begins to jump in on them. And they have to respond to that. I've been called to the psychiatric ward at Howard County Hospital on a Friday night on the teenage floor, filled with teenagers that are dealing with anxiety and fear-related issues and what they have to do to work through that. Sometimes it's the unknown, and you're not even sure what you do to respond to it. Some of you were afraid this week that Trump would be president. Some of you were afraid that Biden would be president. And I read on Facebook, one of you was afraid because your 16-year-old got their driver's license. There is for us so many things that we can be afraid of in this world. But I want to tell you up front, there are three things the scripture says that we can do. More than that. We'll talk about more than that in the future. But three things today that you can do that are imminently doable. The first is to do the work and get vulnerable. Ask yourself some hard questions. Dig deep and find out why it is you're afraid and what's keeping you back and what you need to do about that. Second, remind yourself, if you have to, that God is with you. Read the kind of verses that we see in Scripture where Jesus tells us he'll never leave us or forsake us, that he'll always be by our side. This passage in which David tells his son, God will always be there. Joshua 1, where God says to Joshua and the people, I will never leave you. I will stand beside you. I'll help you. That is God's commitment to us. It's his gift. Don't let it slip away. Grab a hold of it. Trust it. Build on it. And third, foster love. Because love has it's an amazing antidote to fear that catapults us into courage. Grow your love. This is hard work. It's powerful work. Brené Brown wrote a new book called Daring Leadership. And in it, she said that as she interviewed people all over the world about what great leaders look like, consistently, one of the things that they said was that leaders are courageous. And consistently, she said, research showed that they all had to do the work. We need to be courageous. God commands us to be courageous. But more than that, way more than that, think of what wouldn't get done, who wouldn't get helped, what would never occur if we don't grow our courage. There would be no temple. There would be no cross that Jesus went to. So many of the things that we see and enjoy in life would never be because it took courage for the first people to do them. And so God is calling, commanding you and I to work on this part of our lives. And if you... if you've ever wondered if there's a better time to do it, ask yourself, what am I afraid of in my world right now? And I'm guessing there's probably some kind of a list. And then what are you going to do about that? Because right now there are a lot of people who are only trying to make you more afraid. And that is not for the purpose of bringing courage. It's for a whole different purpose. So let's work together to be people of greater courage. Work with me to do the work on the vulnerability, to grow the faith because God is committed to being with us, and to deepen our love. Would you pray with me? Father, as we dive into the series, we pray that you would help us to do the thing that you asked us to do, to do the thing you commanded us to become more courageous. It is not easy, but there's a moment, like that moment when I finally hooked up my floor and it worked. There's a moment of joy when you get past that hurdle. Help us to do that, not for us, but for the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of your glory, that we would be courageous about things that bless you and your heart and your world. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.